James chapter 4, let's take our Bibles tonight and we'll turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Well, we lost our connection for some reason. James chapter 4, what do you need?
How do you do this?
Hit publish. Are you on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook.
Oh, you see, let me see it. It's the church page. Okay. All right. Isn't this a blessing? Such a blessing. Yeah. Let's see here. I'm glad to know something Brother Gray doesn't know. It's probably the first time. And you hit push that blue button. All right. Brother Van, you got a Melton with you tonight. You want to introduce him to our folks here? There is no denying him, let me tell you. And Shane, it's so good to see you again. And just bless my heart to see you come in here. God bless you. Yeah, good to have you. You're our first visitor since the COVID-19, you know. And we've not had any kind of technical difficulties, so we're going to blame it on you. No, I'm not. We have had them already. I'm just telling that. All right, James chapter 4. The Bible is clear to tell us about the creation of man. The number of man is the number 6, and it's because he was created on the 6th day. The Bible says that God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And it wasn't shortly after that, after creation, that God gave man his decree of what his expectation of him. And he told him that he could have everything he wanted there in the garden. There's only one thing he was not to partake of, and that was the tree in the midst of the garden. And man messed that up. They could have of all that they had there, but he could not submit to God about the tree in the garden. He willfully disobeyed God. In James chapter 4, we read about submission and about submitting. These are words that are dirty words today. If you preach about the wife being submissive unto her own husband, you'll be surprised the women who really have an issue with that. In my marriage vows, I have in the vows, they're traditional marriage vows. I don't marry people who write their own vows because they're stupid, you know. And, you know, it may sound like you've done that once before or twice, Brother Tom. And, I use traditional marriage vows.
Amen.
And, it says that the wife will obey and will submit to her husband. I was at one wedding where I performed the wedding up in, North Carolina. And one of the older ladies came to me at the reception and said, if I had known you were going to include that in the wedding, I would have told her to find another preacher. And, so these are some words that aren't popular today. Look in James chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now, verse 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And I'm going to take that phrase, that first sentence of this verse, and deal with it some tonight. Because I want to tell you, your problem, my problem, our problem is submitting to God. God knows what's best for us.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, the Bible's clear over in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Listen, it says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So we have a divine structure, a divine plan, a divine order that God has. Now, I didn't write that. God wrote that. God says that the head of man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. That's what God says. Now, Debbie and I, we've talked about this. I've had to beat her into submission a few times this last 41, 41 years giving it to her, you know. And we were talking about this, and she said something that was really profound, I thought. She said, you know what makes it so hard for children to be submitted or submissive to their head, and what makes it so hard for a wife to be submissive to her husband, where the husband has a bit easier job being submissive to his head. And I said, okay, I'm listening. What is this? I know there's a back door on this thing somewhere. And she says, your head is perfect. So I said, Debbie, forgive me for not being perfect. We were perfect till you gave us the apple in the garden. I know it wasn't an apple. We don't know what the fruit is. So don't be, you know, writing me up on stuff and mailing it to me. I know that. But, you know, here's the deal. God has structure. And let me tell you this. If man is good to get under his head, you'll find the wife has confidence in her husband's leadership, and that she will trust that his decision-making is based off the what's best for the family, the welfare of his wife and his children. It makes it easier for her to come and get underneath her head. And if she's underneath her head, it makes it easier for the children to come and get underneath the parents' head. And that is just absolute truth. Now, let's cover some questions here. First of all, let's notice what's the mission, or what is submission. The Bible says in verse 7, submit. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Now, I think the reason why this is so important is because it's when we are right with God, when we are submitted to God, we will be right with all the other areas of authority. When we are submitted right to God, we'll be submitted to the parents. When we're submitted right to God, the wife will be submitted, you know, or submissive to her husband. When we're right with God, everything seems to fall in line. Now, what does it mean to be submitted? Well, let me give you three different definitions of submission, and then I'll share something that really is a blessing to me. There's a submission that means to arrange under, to obey, to come under one's control, to yield to one's advice. And so submission means to arrange under, to obey, to come under one's control, to yield to one's advice. There's another definition for submission. It's a Greek military term meaning to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under a commander or under a leader. On the battlefield, they have rank, and it's not always the person who's the smartest either, but they have rank, and they have the person who has highest rank calls the shots, because on the battlefield, you'll get people killed quickly if everyone's not pulling, going the same direction. Now, here's a wonderful definition of submission in a non-military use. Submission is a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, carrying burden. So submission in a non-military use is a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, carrying burdens. Now, I heard someone say this. I don't remember who said it, but I wrote it down years ago, and I've always kept it. They said this. True strength lies in submission, which permits one to dedicate his life through devotion to something beyond himself. That is true strength. You know, I want to be a part of something bigger than me.
Yes.
And true strength lies in submission, which permits one to dedicate his life through devotion to something beyond himself. Now, submission is the way of life. You gotta understand this. You're never, ever, ever gonna be out from underneath authority or from a head or from a leader. And the Bible gives us at least five different arenas of submission. Let's look at them. First of all, I mentioned it already, there's the arena of the marriage. In the marriage, to each other, the wife and to the husband. Ephesians 5, verse 21 and 22 says, submitting yourselves one to the another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Now, it's interesting. It's not a contradiction. It's just submitting yourselves one to another. That means to talk it out. Sit down and listen to both sides of their objectives and their thoughts. You don't just make a decision and pull the trigger when you're a husband or when you're a father. What decisions you make affects everybody. You go, it's time to get a new car, and you need a minivan, and you come back with a two-seater. Well, something's wrong there. Let me tell you, you're going to have a hard problem with that. You got enough money to go get a minivan, you come back with a Harley Davidson, and you got four kids and a wife. Not a lot of thought went into that. So you talk this thing out, but because of who we are, because of our Adamic nature, we're not always going to see eye to eye. We're not going to always come at the end of the day. The sun's not going to always set where we are in harmony. And when that happens, the husband has to make a wise choice. And that's where wives are to submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And let me tell you something. Your decision-making is like change in your pocket, or it's like influence in your pocket. When you get married, you're the bomb diggity. You know that? And, you're everything. You're the cat's meow. But you've got a full pocket full of change of influence. But when you make stupid decisions that hurts your marriage, it hurts your children, it hurts the family, you lose a little bit of change each time to finally all you've got left is 2 cents in your pocket, and she and he and the rest of them don't want to hear your 2 cents. So it's very important that we are under our head and that God leads us, and it helps the wife to be submissive. The word submissive, we're talking about what it means. The word subjective, that's a harsher word. It's more of a military word where you put someone in line, where you use your rank to do so. Now, in Colossians 3, verse 18, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands." Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands. You don't have to be submissive to any other husband, just yours, as it is fit in the Lord. And I think that's a key point there, as it's fit in the Lord. So there's the arena of the marriage. There's the arena of the home. Children to the parents. In Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 3, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with thee." That's the promise. "And that thou mayest live long on the earth." If you don't honor your parents, if you don't obey your parents, which is right, then you're doing wrong. And you're going to miss out on this promise that things will be well with you and that you'll live a long life. And then there's the authority of in the church, the member to the pastor. Now, there's some people who don't like this, and I'm not trying to preach this because I feel like we got a problem here. Can I tell you, no pastor has his authority taken from him. They surrender their authority. The pastor is the overseer. And that doesn't mean he is a dictator, nor is the husband a dictator, nor are the parents to be dictators and snapping and getting their kids to move. It's a love relationship, but it's a gentle leadership. In Hebrews 13, verse 17, "Obey them that have rule over you. Submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Now, it makes it clear here that obey them, submit yourself to them who have rule over you. They watch for your souls. Who are those? Those who teach the word of God. Those that's your preacher, your pastor. As they must give account. There's going to be a severe judgment for how pastors have led the church. And that they may do it with joy, not with grief. What determines whether it's grief or joy is how you reply or respond to the pastor and his advice. And it's not, that's unprofitable for you. You're the one who's going to suffer if you don't follow that. So understand, we have the arena of the marriage, husband and wife, the home, the children, the parents, the church, the members, and the pastor. Then there's the law of the land, the citizen, to their government. Now, there's a lot of questions going on with this right now because there's a lot of overreach and a lot of abuse taking place in our states about churches assembling together. And by the way, it'd be good for all of us to read our country's constitution and the First Amendment and the Second Amendment especially. Why is the Second Amendment important? Because it ensures that First Amendment for us. Now, notice the law of the land and the citizens to the government. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, it says, submitting yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be of the king as supreme. Now, we are to live lawfully under the form of political government where the laws are not in opposition to the laws of God. And there can be anarchy. And with the wife, look back at those verses again where it says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. That doesn't mean that the wife has to do everything her husband says that is against this book and God's will. I'm not giving women a chance to revolt, but I'll tell you what, some man who's out running the town and comes in at 3 o'clock half clobbered with alcohol and demands you to fix him breakfast, I want to tell you something. Some man who wants to bring a third party into the relationship, some man who wants you to be more fun and go bar hopping with him, that's not as fit in the eyes of the Lord. So there are areas here where we've got to be in alignment. And our leadership, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a husband, whether you're an employee, whether you're a parent, or whatever, it has to be in alignment with the scripture. Our society and our civil security are always placed at a great danger when people take it to themselves to, you know, just write their own laws and break the laws, you know. I think 45 is too slow on Highway 45. As you know, we lived out in Pinson. It was 45 miles an hour on a six-lane highway, and it was 45 miles an hour on Old Pinson Road that was as crooked as a dog's hind leg. That doesn't make sense to me. And evidently, there's people who live in that area. It's for their safety, and I think I can drive. Matter of fact, I know I can drive faster than 70 miles an hour. I can drive faster than 80 miles an hour. I can drive faster. If I say anything else, Brother Lindsay, that was going to say something to me, so I'm not going to say any more about speeding. But there's some people who can't drive that fast, perhaps, so they need a limit. Things need to be set. And the government is not out of order setting these perimeters for us. It's not crossing any doctrinal standards or Bible principle. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, the Bible says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Peter was commanded, he commanded them to preach, and the rulers had forbidden it. But yet Peter says, we're going to obey God. And there's some pastors this past Sunday who had church, and some of them have been fined. Some churches have been fined. Some church members have been fined. And as it continues on, some will probably have to go to jail to express their First Amendment right. And because God, he has made man to be free, and he has told us to assemble. So can you say amen in there? I'm not just by myself. Now, John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, and he was indicted for preaching the gospel without a license. He suffered 12 years and another 6 years in imprisonment in November 1660. They came to him and said, you can leave today if you'll sign this form saying that you will not preach on the streets. They brought his blind daughter there, and she was crying, saying, Daddy, Daddy, will you sign it and come home? Daddy, would you please just sign it and please come home? Daddy, if you sign it, you can come home and be with us. He did 12 years and another 6 years. He refused to sign it. John Bunyan's reply was this: if you release me today, I'll preach tomorrow. So understand, we need people like that who stand today for God and for principles and for freedoms. We lose the freedoms we are not exercising. So we see these arenas. There's submission in marriage, wife to the husband, to each other, then the husband making the decision. There's submission in the home, children to the parents. There's submission in the church, members to the pastor in the area of leadership. Now, that doesn't mean the pastor says we're going to do X, Y, Z. We vote on it. We talk about it. We pray about it. But let me tell you something. The pastor is a man of God. He has a call of God. He has the anointing of God. And he is to be the overseer, the elder, the bishop, the shepherd of the church. Now, fifthly, there's the arena of God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, what are we to submit? He tells us yourselves. We are our own worst enemy because we refuse to submit ourselves. We are not submitted to God as long as we are in a state of indifference. We are not submitted to God as long as we are not concerned about the things of God. We are not submitted to God as long as we are living only for our self-desire, our own praise, our own honor. We're not submitted to God as long as we are seeking the praise of man and to please man only. We're not submitted to God if we're satisfied with our outward appearance. We're not submitted to God if we love the world, versus love of the Savior. 1 John 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we see what submission is. And I love this statement. True strength lies in submission, which permits one to dedicate his life through devotion to something beyond himself. Now, we've got a lot of young men, and when I say young, I'm talking about 40 years and younger, who will say, I'm a man. I'll do what I want to do. I'm a man. You don't have to check up with me about church. I'm a man. You don't have to address me. I'm a man. Can I tell you, if you're a man, you don't have to tell people you're a man. They'll see that you're a man. But it's your selfish lack of submission that's going to get you in trouble, and it's what got Adam and Eve in trouble in the garden. Now, secondly, to whom are we to submit? Well, we're to submit ourselves. He said, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. We are to submit ourselves to God, but why? Why should we submit to God? Well, because he is our head. He's the head of us. 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Because he's our head. If God says don't do it, then you shouldn't do it. Amen. You know what we do? God tells us not to do it, and we think God gives us options. Yeah. Well, we're going to do it for a while, but he's right. We're going to eventually get to where God's at. And that doesn't work. Doesn't happen. We can't live our life like, well, God's right in this and God's right in that, and I want to get there one day, but right now I'm just going to kind of taper myself off of my sin. No. You see, he is our head, so that is why we are to be submitted to him. Because he made us in his image. God is three parts. We are body, soul, and spirit. And God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. And male and female created he them. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God man he made. So we should submit ourselves to God because he's our head. We should submit ourselves to God because we are created in his image. We are to submit ourselves to God because he sent his son to die for us. He purchased us. He ransomed us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Don't you think that's enough reason to be submitted to him? But whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We should be submitted to God because he has given his Holy Spirit to quicken us and to comfort us. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, for the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being part of death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So understand, we are to be submitted. What do we submit? Ourselves. Who do we submit to? God. He is our head. We are made in his image. He sent his son to die for our sins. We have been quickened and we are sealed by the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and then because he has given his word to guide us and to assure us. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119, verse 140, "Thy word is very pure, and therefore thy servant loveth it." Psalm 119, verse 160, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick, it's alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Luke 11, verse 28, "But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, because he has given us his word." These are strong reasons we ought to submit ourselves. Now listen to me. You're submitted to something. What is it? If it's not God, it's the wrong object.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, I'm a good wife. We're not challenging you're being a wife. Well, I'm a good woman. I'm a good husband. I'm a good man. It's not about you. It's about if you're not submitted to God. You know, God gives you the opportunity to make decisions. And you know, when God impresses you to do A, B, C, X, Y, Z, whatever it is, you have the decision whether you're going to do it or not.
Yeah.
But if you're submitted to God, you won't hesitate about it. Now, what is it to be submitted to God? Now, I'll finish. Five areas I want to talk with you. Let me say first, in verse 7, "Submitting yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Submitting yourself to God implies several things. Let me tell you what it implies first. It implies your will and your affections. Who has your will? Who has your affection? It implies your time, your tithe, and your talent. Is your time and your tithe and your talents, is it submitted to God? It implies your pleasures and your possessions. Are your pleasures submitted to God and your possessions given to him? It implies your care and your concern. It implies your plans and your purposes. Now, five areas that we should be submitted in. Let me tell you what they are. Number one, we should be submitted in the area of salvation. And I know I'm talking to Christians tonight. So, well, I'm already there. Well, that's good. You're submitted to God in that area. But the world is to be submitted to God in the area of salvation. Revelation 22, verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come, the water of life freely." Now, we're reminded in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, "And these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Listen, man will go to hell because they refuse to submit to God in the area of salvation. They ball their fist. They can say, "I don't believe God exists. I don't believe anybody knows God exists. I'm angry at God. God's not been fair to me." They can do all these things, but they need to submit themselves to God in the area of salvation, or they destroy their flesh and spend eternity in hell. Secondly, we should submit in the area of stewardship. And this is talking about your money. Don't get too quiet on me. Malachi 3, verse 8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have you robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." And Luke 6, verse 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall man give into your bosom." It says, "For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." We should be submitted in the area of stewardship. Has God told you to tithe or to give you all your offerings off of your extra income that came in? I say, am I supposed to tithe off of this supplement in income from the government? It's income.
Yes.
Of course you are. Absolutely. And I want you to know you can't outgive God. You're not going to do it. God has blessed us, Debbie and I, just this last couple of weeks. I mean, just it's been hilarious. It's been so funny how God's blessed us. But God wants us submitted to him. And if you're a stingy, selfish, little tightwad with God, if you're not benevolent towards God, you better pinch every penny you can get because you're going to need it. Not only are we to be submissive to God in the area of salvation and stewardship, we're to be submissive to God in the area of servantship. We're to serve the Lord. He tells us in John chapter 12, verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, there's a lot of people who talk it up, and they talk about God and how miraculous and what an awesome God I have and all this stuff, and they don't do bananas for God. And what service you do should be under the authority of the local New Testament church. You know, the rage don't just say, hey, let's just go. Hey, Marta, let's just go to China and be missionaries. Oh, boy, okay, let's do that. No, they went by the authority of the local New Testament church. And that's God's plan. By the way, people who just go to China and start a church all by themselves, they're in trouble. They need more than just themselves. You see, here's the thing with authority. I want you to see it. God is here. God is here. And he's given a line of authority. This line of authority is our government. It's our parents. It's our pastor. It's the husband. And there are people who are getting themselves in great trouble because they're bypassing all this authority God's put in their life. And they're going directly to God. Well, we're going to Tucson, Arizona. Is that God's will? Well, I prayed to God. And he said it was fine. Well, you know, don't you think you should talk to the other authority that God's put in your life? I want to tell you, people who don't go through the chains of authority God has put in their lives mess up. They mess up. Now, we should be submitted in the area of salvation and stewardship and servantship. You should be doing something for God. And then fourthly, we should be submitted in the area of separation. Separation is something that is hated today. It's hated as much as submission today. But you know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God tells us to come out from among them. We have been ecclesia, the church is a called out group. And we're not to look like the world, smell like the world, talk like the world. We're not to have that world. And we still have the world, and it's got a lot of carnality in us. But God, through the doctrine of sanctification, we're slowly evolving and changing into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're in the church, if we're in our Bibles, if we're praying. But this area of separation is something, you know, it's amazing to me how people, you know, and I'm not trying to be lewd. I'm not trying to be reckless here. But if someone walked in on a lady in just her undergarments, she'd have a fit over that. But put some pastel colors on it, put some flowers on it, dig a hole and fill it full of water, and it's okay now. Does that make sense to anybody? Can I tell you that when the maniac of Gadara got saved, he put his clothes on? And people hate this kind of preaching. They hate this preaching of separation. And I'll hear about this, I assure you. Somebody will really say something about it because of live stream. But I want you to know it doesn't matter, because I want you to know, man, I understand the life of sin. I know what drunkards are, and I know what dope addicts are. And I know that, and we have kids who've grown up who've been sheltered. They didn't see drugs passed in the bathroom at the public school. They didn't see, they were protected. They didn't ride the hell. School bus blaring with the devil's music and everything going on in the back of the bus that you can, you know, imagine. All these things. And let me tell you something. That was the 70s. That can't touch what's taking place today. We're supposed to come out from among them. Love your kids and protect them. Shelter them. Put them in the greenhouse and guard those tender plants. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That's not just talk, but that's behavior. God has an expectation of his children walking in righteousness and holiness. Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." We should be submitted to God in salvation, in stewardship, in our servantship, in our separation. By the way, there's ecclesiastical separation and there's personal separation. I don't sit on the platform with another preacher that doesn't have ecclesiastical separation. I don't sit on the platform with a bunch of Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't sit on the platform with Church of Christ and with Church of God. That's erroneous doctrine. There's ecclesiastical separation. And then there's personal separation. I don't smoke, I don't drink, and I don't chew, and I don't run with those that do. Now, my spirituality is not wrapped up in that. My spirituality is wrapped up in the time I spend with God and spend time on my knees and spend time in this book. But if you spend time with God and you spend time on your knees and you spend time in this book, he'll tell you, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," and you won't do those things. You'll cast those things off and you'll cast some other things on. And it's amazing to me, people are so critical who want to crucify us preaching like this, and they're wine bibbers and they're cursers and they watch borderline, if not full-blown pornography. It's amazing to me, and they want to say grace covers it all. Well, friend, I want to tell you, you've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Paul says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." It's getting good. I hate to be winding down now. Lastly, we should be submitted to God in the area of soul winning. Proverbs 11, verse 30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." My favorite soul winning story. They change every year, it seems. But it's got to be Robert Fortwängler. Robert Fortwängler, a teenager that I led to Christ just before he died, just 16 hours before he died. I led him to Christ. One of our bus teens called me and said, "Can you go visit Robert Fortwängler?" And I did. He was broken all to pieces. He couldn't talk. He could only blink his eyes. But when he received Jesus Christ as his Savior, I saw a tear come out of the corner of his face and drop down on the table he's laying on. And this past year, 2019, I met Robert's sister, Mary Jackson. Man, I tell you what, we have got a sweet relationship. And last time I was over her house, she brought me a picture of Robert. And I remember him well. Yes, I do. He that winneth souls is wise. We went to Maria's restaurant yesterday for lunch. We hadn't been in a restaurant. We went to Perkins to meet the Grays. That's the first restaurant we went to since New York. I went to Maria's, and Norway was there, and he kept just bringing us stuff. I'd say, "Oh, no way, no, no, no. Yeah, you come here. No, 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 no. No, no way, no, no, no. Okay, let me have it, yeah. Pastor, try this. Is it good? I don't know, I need a little bit more of that." But he got saved. He and Fabi got saved. Sorianos got saved. I remember going to the apartments over there on 45 South. Remember that, Felix? Went over there, and she had just had Isaac, the child of the devil. And no, I'm just teasing. Such a handsome young man. He is. And she was just a kid with a kid. And Felix, and I don't say this to shame him, but he had a drinking problem, and he got saved. Amen. Comprehendo? He looks at RSL, he says, "Pastor thinks he's speaking Spanish again." He got saved. And let me tell you something, he got changed. Yeah. Isaac was a wild Indian. Elizabeth, we were over at a Spanish fellowship at your house. And I remember Isaac was into everything. He was three. He was everywhere. He's wearing bib overalls. And I finally said, enough of this kid. So I picked him up by the back of his bib overalls, and I walked around the rest of the night like he's a piece of luggage. He is kicking just like this. I did. I wouldn't try that tonight. He's stronger than I am. I'm just saying this. I saw Noah yesterday, and I asked him, I said, can I put my arm around you? And can I let Debbie get a picture of us? They call him Preacher Noah there because he's always preaching. I call him the Spanish Elvis. And I left there and I just thought, man, he that winneth souls is wise. You see, soul winning, it's not an offer, it's a command. Well, I don't have the gift of gab. Well, that's okay. You don't have to have it. Jesus told his disciples he'd put the words in their heart. He always does. Are you submitted to being a soul winner? We met the Grays, the older Grays, before they left back for Arizona. And there were some Spanish out there working, putting some flowers in, doing a beautiful job. And I opened my Allen leather work track wallet. It's like a filing cabinet. I reached in the back and I pulled the Spanish out and gave it to him. And then when we left, I gave the waitress an English track. Now, you know, I was concerned about COVID-19. I don't know if they would take it out. They didn't hesitate, and they promised they would read it. And soul winning is much more involved than just giving a gospel tract, but sometimes that's all the time you've got. But are you prepared just to get the, to, you know, that Spanish man maybe has never, ever heard a clear presentation of the gospel. He's doing Hail Mary full of grace, and he's taking the sacraments, and he's going to the church when he was born, and he won't go back till he's dead. I'm just saying, these are areas. This is not for the preacher, for the missionary, for the assistant pastor. This is for the child of God, and we need to be submitted. Submitted, if you're not saved, submit to God and come to him, crying for mercy. Be submitted to him in the area of your pocketbook and your stewardship. Not just your tithe, but your time and your talent. Be submitted to God in the area of service. You mean find a job to do for God, cut the grass, change the light bulbs, sweep the carpet, clean the bathrooms, teach a Sunday school class, play a piano, do something for God. Ask God to show you things in your life that is carnal and that distance you from him and from his blessing and separate yourself from it. And then be an avid person to share the gospel with people who need the Lord. These are areas. See, we may feel like we're submitted to God, but are we submitted in these areas? Let's pray tonight. Lord, these have been good folks to listen tonight. And Lord, we ask that you would meet with us tonight. Let us examine ourselves. Are we submitted? Submit yourself, therefore, to God. We may be submitted in the area of salvation, but what about the area of stewardship? We may be submitted in the area of stewardship, but what about the area of servanthood? We might be fine in the area of servanthood, but what about this area of separation? What part of the world still owns we need to kick off? Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be wise and win souls. I ask that you meet our needs. Would you stand with me? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you just ask the Holy Spirit? As David said, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. If you find an area that you're not totally surrendered in, you're not totally submitted. Maybe you're not submitted to your husband. You're not surrendered to your... Maybe you're a rebel to your parents. Maybe you got an issue with your pastor. Hey, listen, whatever it might be, get it right with God. Draw close to God. draw nigh, he'll draw nigh to you. Lord, bless tonight now. Give victory. Save the lost. Meet the needs of each one of us. What our needs are great, but our needs are different. So meet our different needs. In thy name I pray. Amen. You come.